Your heart beats faster and faster.
All persons are haunted. Throngs of spirits follow us everywhere. We are never alone. Barney Sarecki, everybody, and this is your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Oh, that's right, paranormal broadcasting, where when last we left Nathan and Sean, they were tied to the railroad tracks by the evil paranormal villain. What will happen next? Tune in and find out.
Yeah. Hey, I want to know the evil paranormal villain names. That'd be a good one right there. Hey, gang, we are live in studio once again, and this is the D&E. Oh, we'll be in the D&E chat room all night long.
And you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
And this is your ghost man, Sean B.
And that would make me someone else's demon hunter, a.k.a. Nathan Schoonover.
And this is the May 31st broadcast of our show.
The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burson. It's live on Omnisound, Absurd Radio, and Planet Paranormal Radio, and is recorded for Planet Paranormal, Black Vault Radio Network, and the Para-X Radio Network.
All right, here we go, guys. Sunday night, once again, tonight's guest, get those spurs out, Joshua Hawley, founder of Tombstone Paranormal Investigations, plus a tour guide for the Haunted History Ghost Tours of Tombstone, Arizona. Get those six shooters ready, buckaroos. We head west to meet some ghostly gunslingers and cowboy spooks tonight only on the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
You know, I wish I had some gunshot and ricochet sound effects, Sean.
I know. I did that. I set it up. You should have knocked it down.
I know. Well, I know. You know, it would have really added to the effect of the fact that the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Original Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your host
for tonight's show, Ghostman
and Demon Hunter. Yeah. Thank you, Bob.
Welcome back. Huh?
I said thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob. Absolutely. Hey, guys, welcome back, G&D Show faithfuls. Thanks for listening. Listeners around the world, thank you for listening to what's sure to be another great episode of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Oh, Sean, you know, I'm feeling really excited. Things are coming together for us. For those who don't know, Extreme Paranormal has been announced. We will start filming this summer for our new television show coming out on A&E fall.
We weren't sure on the real name, were we, brother?
No, well, they gave us a different name altogether, and when they made the announcement, I was like, are you sure that's us? Because that's not the name they gave us.
Yeah, that was us, guys. That was us. It's going to be happening. So all you faithfuls that are here in the chat room, not only are you going to be able to listen to us on Sunday nights live, Demon Hunter,
you'll
be able to listen to us sometime.
We're going to try and keep this going as long as possible, aren't we?
And we are. We're going to ride this mule out till it pukes. You ever heard that?
No, but okay.
Well, there you go. We're going to ride the mule out till it pukes or drops or whatever. But I got to tell you, man, what a great, fabulous week here in the state of Indiana. It's been probably about 80s, 85 all week long, and it's been a good week. A lot of rain here in the Hoosier State.
I gotta say, Sean, I don't like you right now. It's been cold out here in Connecticut. We hit one day, I guess, around 70, but the rest of the time it's been 60s and 50, low 60s and 50s, and tonight it's in the 50s, and I had to shut
it doesn't make any sense. When I came out to the Demon Hunter Studios, it was downright blistering hot, even at night.
Yeah, and I remember because you guys turn my air conditioner on. I never use air conditioning in my old house because I used the downstairs bedroom. It never got hot down there. And you guys were in the upstairs room. And I never realized it got that hot up there, but had to turn my air conditioning on.
Yeah, I remember Doug from Ghostly Talk Radio was there, and he goes, is that thing just for show, or does it really work? Remember that?
Yes, well, the rest of us can't have air conditioners that plug into nuclear power plants. So.
Right. Apparently, Doug has cabana people, you know, cabana women or boys or whatever, fanning him down everywhere he goes, so he don't have to worry about that kind of stuff, man. But I got to tell you, what a crazy week. You had an investigation last night, Demon Hunter. Are you allowed to speak about that?
I'm not allowed to give out the information about it, and I'm just going over the evidence now, so I really don't have anything to talk about. And until I talk about it with the people who live there, wouldn't be fair to talk about it on the show. But I drove to Delaware for an investigation. So yesterday morning, I drove from Connecticut to Delaware and got down there and parked by a lake for about an hour and took a power nap because it was such a drive. And then afterwards had lunch and met up with, you remember we had Donna, the psychic counselor on the show?
I think so.
She came on, you know, people can check her website out at www.voicesfrombeyond7, that's the number 7, voicesfrombeyond7.com. Hung out with her and her family, who are all members of GHOST, the Ghost Hunters. It stands for Ghost Hunters Offering Supernatural Tactics.
So, really?
Yep. So that's a little bit different than most of those names you hear out there. So
what is supernatural tactics?
I think it's whatever power has allowed us to stay on the show all this time.
yeah, because that's by the seat of our pants that we barely go on. But anyway, man, you got all these kinds of stories out there, Demon Hunter. One that caught my eye right off Yahoo, guys, if you go to the front page. It was Japan's Kobashi beats Chestnut in eating rematch. Did you hear about this, cat?
I did not.
They had a pizza eating contest today at a Culver City, California, and apparently Teruki Kobayashi, sorry to our listeners in Japan and China, outlasted Joey Chestnut. They were two of the big eating titans in the world, and Kobayashi was a 6-time world hot dog eating champion from Japan, and the other guy was a 25-year-old from America, and apparently they had a pizza eat-off today. And looks like Japan won. Kobashi won.
You know, what I want to know is how it is that the sumo wrestlers get so big, and yet the Japanese eating competition guys all look like they've been in a prison camp for the last 6 months.
I know. I don't get it. They must take pills or something. There's got to be some kind of speed or something going on with those guys.
What they do is they have surgeries and swap stomachs with the sumo wrestlers.
Oh, well, that might happen. That might happen. You never know. Sumo wrestlers do get big. I wonder what they eat to get that big. That's paranormal.
I watched a show a while ago, and it showed them eating, like, you know, I averagely eat maybe 3,000 calories a day.
And right.
They were eating, like, 6,000, 7,000 calories a day, 8,000 sometimes. Huge meals and all properly dished out to put the weight on and...
Right.
It was something, you know.
Now, see, I eat under 1,500 calories a day, or right at 1,500 calories a day. And I try to work out when I can. That's a lie, guys, but I got to say it anyway. But it's the beer, man. I still got a beer gut because I can't put the beer down. It's tough, you know, we're doing the show. You got to have some nice ice-cold brew on hand. Of course, tonight is Rising Moon. It's the newest from Blue Moon Beer Company. It's a Belgian beer. And it's very good. It's a seasonal collection. It's saying goodbye to winter.
Well, you know, I've been better with the beer lately. My cigars are my saving grace. You know that. I went down to Butthead's Tobacco Emporium in Danbury, Connecticut this week.
Where'd you go? Butthead's. Yeah.
It's my Tarano cigar. So it's a Tarano Exodus 1959, and in the silver wrapper, and very good, very, very good.
Sounds like a porno. It's in a silver wrapper. Is that like a tin foil or what?
No, it's just silver. It's, you know, I could probably trade it in, get a ring, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know. It's not paranormal. Why are we talking about that?
I don't know. It's very interesting. You brought it up, though. But I'll tell you what, paranormal hotlines, right off the front press, guys, I got this one, Demon Hunter. I had to tell Demon Hunter before the show about it, guys, so if he acts surprised, he's fibbing, because I just told him. But it was a cool idea. Ghostwire helps you track down dead people, guys. All right? Love of all things supernatural. It ought to be time for you to get yourself a Nintendo DS. It says a Sweden-based development studio called A Different Game is working on a new title known as Ghostwire. This game will require you to track down real ghosts in real life with the help of the Nintendo DS camera, microphone, and touchscreen display. No idea on whether you have the best chances of beating the high score, if any, at the local cemetery, but we reckon this is not meant for the faint of heart. So I checked this out, guys. You can check it out more at www.ghostwiregame.com. That's www.ghostwiregame.com. It's a mobile device. It is used as a medium to find and collect ghosts around you, Demon Hunter is what they say. In your guest... In your guest options, you will use real tools such as phone, camera, as well as a frequency modulator for tuning in to ghosts. Once you find them, you will have to find out why they haunt the world through riddles and all kinds of different puzzles that they will give you. You'll have to basically solve the case and see why they're there. Just like a real ghost hunter, Demon Hunter, but this is a game they came out with. It shows whatever you're pointing the camera at. But I'm thinking, I don't know for sure, I'm thinking that they add their own ghost for this game. I'm pretty sure. I hope they're not waiting on ghosts to give us riddles, because I'm still working on cases from 10 years ago. You know what I mean?
You know, Sean, I was thinking about it now. You remember we said that all you needed to be a ghost hunter these days was a camera and a digital voice recorder?
That's it.
And now all you need is a Nintendo DS. So you're all good.
That's right. That's right, absolutely. And I think Nintendo DS, my kid, my oldest, you can't get it out of his hand. So he could be a professional ghost hunter at the age of 10, if this is what this new game they're coming out with. But anyway, that was pretty cool. But we got another one, guys. Comes right out of Fox News, foxnews.com. Woman hypnotized to believe she had weight loss surgery, loses 55 pounds. Now, Demon Hunter, you know myself and our other correspondent, Gowan, have been trying to drop a few pounds, shed them off, guys, if you will, before we hit the road and do our thing there for you. But it says a British woman lost 55 pounds after she was hypnotized to believe that she had weight loss surgery. Marion Corns, 35 years of age, said she believed surgeons had placed a gastric band on her stomach, shrinking it to the size of a golf ball after paying $1,580 for 5 sessions with the hypnotherapist. Corns decided to have the procedure after her weight ballooned to 216 pounds. Now, that's a woman right there. I like that. She was hypnotized and talked through every step of the surgery as if she was in an operating room. She was asked to handle a model of a stomach and gastric band while the smells and sounds of an operating room were introduced into her room. Bizarre. I can remember. Right, we're getting some kind of interference there, Demon Hunter. I think aliens are coming in. I think that's happening right now. I think I'm being abducted.
There we go. No probes for you tonight, Sean.
Oh, man, dang. That ruins my whole Sunday night. I can remember every part of the procedure, she says, including being wheeled into the operating room, the clink of the surgeon's knife, and even the smell of anesthetic, Corn said. She said she now feels full if she tries to eat anything other than a small portion of food. I've tried every other diet and exercise plan the world has to offer, she said. I've tried tablets, Weight Watchers, Atkins, Slim Fast, milkshakes, and even a personal trainer, but none of them have helped her. Corns had the hypnotherapy last August in Spain. Afterwards, she started losing up to 3 pounds a week, guys. So there you go, talking about that's a big hot topic, Demon. You got a lot of skeptics out there that say hypnotism is no darn good. It's no good. Don't do it. But this lady's lost a great amount, and she's still losing. She's losing 3 pounds a week.
Well, you know, I was at I got laid off again this week, Sean. You know about that. But I was at my job last week, and people were asking me how I'd lost so much weight because I've dropped a good 20 pounds since we were last out on the road. And you know, they were all talking about their weight loss techniques, and I said, you've got to try my diet. It's the stress and poverty diet. You know,
you don't it's have called money the Great to buy Depression food. Diet.
You don't have money to buy food, and then when you do buy the food, you're so stressed out that you have no money left in your account, you can't bring yourself to eat it. So
you can't eat it.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that. I'll call it the Great Depression diet or the Roman noodles diet. Just high on sodium, low on fat. That's where you want to be, man. But here's another one that was kind of interesting, guys. It's a story. You decide if it's paranormal or not. But Hero Bunny hops to the rescue. Are you ready for this, Demon Hunter?
I'll give it a try.
I don't know if any of our listeners are, but I'm going to lay it on them anyway. A British couple escaped a potentially deadly gas leak in their home thanks to the courage of their heroic pet, a bunny rabbit. Warren Taylor and Casey Leathers were asleep in their bedroom when they awoke to the sound of a scratching at the door. When they went to investigate, they found Bunny sitting outside their room and the noxious odor of gas permeating through their home. Apparently, someone had forgotten to turn off one of the gas burners on the stove. She alerted us to the danger, said Warren. The real mystery is how the bunny managed to escape to wake her owners. She was locked up in the kitchen at night to keep her from chewing on wires. She must have jumped up and knocked the door handle, said Warren. She's a hero. So they got this little white rabbit, Demon Hunter. It's real pretty. It's fluffy. It's cottony. It's white.
Does it carry a little pocket watch and wear a tailored vest?
No, it doesn't do that. It's not like, what was that? What was that Disney thing?
Alice in Wonderland. And
you hear the remake in that?
I did not hear that, but that scares me.
They're making a real life one. I think they tried to do it before, but that was for the hippies, and they were getting stoned. It was a pretty good idea, but I don't know what's going to hit them now. You know, you never know. So, anyway, that was the heroic bunny. I remember on ABC weekend specials. I don't know if you guys ever got this, but here in Indiana we did, and I'm sure you guys did around the world, but they had ABC weekend specials, and that's the one I found. This is why I first got started in ghost hunting, Demon Hunter. I'm going to let everybody know. I'm going to lay some knowledge on the group tonight. I'm going to let you guys know. But on the weekend special, there's a book called The Red Room Riddle by Scott Corbin. The Red Room Riddle by Scott Corbin. Of course, Mr. Corbin's been dead for a long time now. But it was a story that got me involved in ghost hunting when I was probably 8 years old, or at least wanted to be in with the ghost and know where they were and what was going on. But it was about a story of a little boy and his bulldog that had burnt to death in a fire. And one Halloween night, these two neighborhood kids, one was a bully, one was just a regular Joe, they got dared to go inside this haunted mansion. So they went inside the mansion, and when they got up there, they seen this little boy, and they start talking to him, and he took him on the tour. The whole program was him taking him on a tour of the house. And he said, and this was where the fire started, and all this and that. And at the end of the show, Halloween night, late at night, guys, right before Halloween night turns into the day after, which would be All Saints Day, I think, right, Demon Hunter?
That would be All Saints Day.
All Saints Day. They were standing out front of the mansion, and they said, well, hey, man, we never asked you, how come you know so much anyway about this house? And then all of a sudden, his little dog jumps up on his lap, the bulldog, and he starts laughing, and he fades away. And the boys take off running down the street. Now, that's a ghost story. That's the kind of ghost story that has got me hooked.
You know, Sean, you have told me that ghost story before, and I honestly think that ghost story, more than growing up in a haunted house and having seen anything in the paranormal, that is the reason you got into the paranormal, that story.
I love it. Don't you guys remember when we were kids? I mean, this is when ghost hunting was fun, Nate. Before we started, everybody knew everything about it and all these things going on. The cool thing was the story. I want to hear the story, and then you go to the place, and if you seen something, that was a bonus too, man. And it's even a bonus if you get it on tape or a recorder or whatever. But somewhere along the line, I think a lot of people are losing that excitement, that adrenaline rush, man. I hate to see that. I hate it. See? I think ABC should come out with the weekend special again, and they should play that, the Red Room Riddle. If you guys want to check it out, go to my MySpace page, because I got the Red Room Riddle up there on the actual MySpace page. But that's where it's at, Demon Hunter. I think...
You know what, Sean, thinking back to that rabbit that saved the people, and maybe they should check to see if the rabbit started the fire. Because I remember that rabbit in Monty Python's Holy Grail with the huge teeth, and look at the bones! And
at the bones! She's a witch banner!
Maybe it was a rabbit. Maybe they got to check all angles there. Rabbit liked to chew wires. Maybe chewed a wire, started the fire. You know?
Right.
Then realizing...
Well, I remember on the ABC Weekend Special, they had, and you guys in the pet store, you guys in the chat room might be able to help me out with this one. I don't know if Demon Hunter get this, but the ABC Weekend Special used to have something about a rabbit that was a Dracula. He was a vampire.
Oh, yes. They made a book about that, too.
You remember that? Yeah. I forget what it was. Bunnicula?
Bunnicula.
Bunnicula. That's some retro right there, baby. Bunnicula. That was good. That was good. I liked it. Anyway, guys, I got another story for you.
If I recall, Sean, Bunnicula was written by... who wrote that? Howell and... Let's see. Yeah, I think it was Deborah and James Howell. H-O-W-E,
really?
Yeah.
So you remember that. That's very cool.
Well, I worked in a bookstore for how long people would come in and ask for books for their kids, and Bunnicula was a good book.
Yeah, Bunnicula was good. He would suck the juice out of carrots. Remember that? Out of the vegetables?
Yes.
They would find, like, a tomato that was flat, and they would, how did this happen? It was, anyway, guys, we have another story, guys, out of the scnow.com. This is kind of a longer one, Demon Hunter. It's paranormal divers planned summer of ghost hunting in Tampa Bay. I just went out to Tampa Bay last year at the beautiful Treasure Island. It's gorgeous out there, but these guys aren't too far from that. It says, those who die at sea might never leave the water, body or soul. And if they're still there, perhaps haunting the reefs and shipwrecks, where they're perished, paranormal divers aims to find them. The Cape Coral Base Company is preparing for a summer of ghost hunting in Bay Area waters with investigations of the Gunsmoke, which is a shrimp trawler that mysteriously sank with a cargo of marijuana 14 miles west of Edgemont. That's not really they were high, guys. They jumped off the boat and swam to shore. That's what happens when you're high. But anyway, the Blackthorn, a Coast Guard Coast Guard boat tendered that collided with a freighter in 1980, killing 23 seamen, and the waters beneath the old Sunshine Skyway, where 35 people died after a freighter rammed the bridge in 1980. We picked a wreck that has some potentially haunted history, and then we check it out, says Lee Elrich, president of the Ghost Pros Paranormal, Inc. The company films its search and sells the video... weaving the story of the site, fact and lore, and the paranormal diver's experience. We look for stories, the romance, Elbert says. We're putting the ghost back in the ghost ship. At each site, the dive team first sets up sonar drones to record the underwater sounds. The recordings are analyzed to determine what sounds you're not supposed to hear, possibly sounds of the paranormal, Elbert says. Once all the recorded data is collected, Ghost Pros will plan a nighttime excursion at the Gunsmoke ship. Divers will thoroughly explore the wreckage. What makes the Gunsmoke compelling is nobody knows what happened, he says. The trawler was found abandoned and sinking in January 1977. According to the news accounts, Elbert says two people disappeared. We want to go into the ship, really see what's in there, he says. The divers will also watch for a telltale glow of bioluminescence lights from forms and listen for unusual sounds. Elbert says they are not trying to convince anyone of paranormal activity. We offer our evidence in good faith for both scientific and entertainment value. And it is up to the viewer to believe what he or she feels is true, according to the disclaimer at www.ghostpros.com. So there you go, guys. If you were to die in some strange setting, he says, wouldn't you want to know that someone was looking for you? So here you got some ghost hunters, Demon Hunter. I know I didn't read the story that good. But you got some ghost stories, man, coming out of Tampa, Florida here. Not only on land, guys, but you have this ghost pros are going underwater with professional divers, and they're checking for EVP and stuff. So it's very interesting right there.
It is interesting, Sean. I'm interested in seeing what they get from an underwater ghost expedition, investigation. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you would call that.
I don't know, but they're checking on a couple ships. Demon
Hunter. Are they also looking for the bags of pot that got lost? Because
I certainly hope so. I don't know what salt water would do to the marijuana, though. I don't know.
I wonder if they sealed the bags tight enough, if it was cold enough down there, if they lost it. I don't know.
They might have. I'm thinking the Coast Guard came too close and they jumped ship. That's what happened. So you lost me at Banicula. When you hear that name, Banicula, you lost me, guys. You know, that's the word of the day, everybody in the chat room and listeners around the world. Banicula.
Great. Check it out on YouTube. Our guest is going to come on later, and we're going to be sitting there in the middle of the conversation. All of a sudden, we're going to go, Banicula.
Banicula. He's always watching.
Hey, before we go too much further, I want to thank the folks in our chat room, Ghost Chaser, Jerry, Missy, Becky, Ray. For those of you who listen to us on podcasts, want to throw it out there to you. Get ready for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter change. We are changing from our current main podcast being at Podomatic to Planet Paranormal. And I've been spending the last few weeks uploading the highest quality shows we can produce to Planet Paranormal for you. But when it changes, you folks who listen to us on iTunes and other networks, all those networks will change too, so you might not find us if you have us saved as a favorite or something like that. So you might have to go looking for us again, but it will be worth it because the shows will be of the highest possible quality.
Banicula!
Banicula! Oh, and thanks to our International Listener of the Week, Sean. This week, our International Listener of the Week was Paris, France, who apparently in Paris we have grown in popularity because they were the most downloads outside the U.S. Paris, France, where we don't cost a single euro to listen to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
No way, but they love us still, man. The French are cool. I like the French. They gave us French fries. Yeah. What do they give us? What are those hats? What are those hats we wear?
Berets.
Berets. They gave us berets.
I like the cheese.
And poodles. Didn't they give us poodles? Or is that a joke?
I don't know if they gave us poodles. I think they gave us the haircuts for the poodles, but...
I think that's a bad joke I heard about the poodles. I'm not going to say it, though, because I love France. So, you know. It's the city of brotherly love, man. I'm kidding, but it could be, you know.
Oh, Sean. Oh, by the way, too, sending my love out to my niece, Bethany, who gave birth today to my great-niece, Prudence Jane. So, another schoonover out there. The ranks are just growing. Soon we will have the numbers we need to take over the world. Our plans for world domination keep growing.
And, of course, Ghost Chaser says French dressing, too. The French gave us French dressing.
Can't, you know, and French toast.
Right.
You like the French toast, yeah.
And congratulations, Demon Hunter, on the great-grandbaby. That's grandniece?
Grandniece. It's funny grand-niece. When you think of... the fact that both my brother, this is my brother's daughter, so congratulations to my brother too. But
they got the show on TV, This Old House?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could talk to the producers of our show and have them change the name to This Old Man.
Oh, yeah.
I liked it.
Both
liked
my brother and sister are grandparents now, and believe me, I love to throw that at them. But, because now my sister has two grandsons, my brother has this new granddaughter, plus my niece Jenny has a son and two daughters. So now we're just waiting for my niece Lee's, and the plan will come to fruition.
And then here in the Ghostman side of the studios, I got the baby Addie on her way.
Yeah.
Addie's going to be my first little girl and last baby, guys. Of course, if you want to see the Ghostman anytime after that, you can go to the Urology Clinic of Indiana.
And there for... he will gladly sign autographs at the cost of one diaper change per signing. So...
whoever wants to hold the peas, I'll take. How about that, huh? That's what I think it's a deal. I'll sign your autograph as long as you hold my pee bag. My peas. Frozen peas, man. You get it, don't you?
No, Sean, that's okay. No kids on this side planning to keep it that way.
So. Oh, yeah? Well, I guess you never know, man. It comes up when you least expect it.
Hey, our buddy Kenny B just joined us in the chat room. We didn't get a throw out to him, and... CVPI Chris. So, guys, thank you.
And hey, did you hear about this, Demon Hunter? Did you hear about Lenin? You know Lenin in Russia, right?
Right.
He, you know, he's been, what do they call that? Embalmed.
Embalmed. He was actually mummified, but okay.
Okay, mummified since 1924, but they're having problems right now because this cat's suit the embalming fluid they used is eating away at his suit. And, of course, he's stiff as a board. They got to find a way to go in there and put a new suit on him. It's pretty soon, if you guys go to Russia and you go down there and with the thousands of visitors that go check Lenin's exhibit out every year, he's going to be naked pretty soon. They got to find a way to put clothes on this guy.
Oh, man, and he's in that sealed case, too, so that's going to be tough.
85-year-old body, man. It's been on display for 85 years.
Yes,
so indeed. If anybody out there in the chat room knows how to put clothes on an 85-year-old stiff, let us know. I'm sure the KGB will be after me now because I called Lenin the stiff.
Well, if there was still a KGB, that would be a problem, Sean, but...
Right, well, you know there is. Conspiracy, conspiracy!
Sean, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have our guest for tonight.
That's right, Joshua Hawley, guys, founder of Tombstone Paranormal Investigations, and he's a tour guide for the Haunted History Ghost Tours of Tombstone, Arizona. Do I need to do the get ready six shooters?
No,
and all that?
No, you don't have to. You don't have to do that, Sean. But I do want to throw out that stick around. We're gonna have news from our friend Christopher Balzino from Balzino from theghostvillage.com. So stick around.
Get ready, guys. Ghostly Gunslingers up next.
Para X Radio and you.
This is Johnny. Johnny is going to use his computer to contact the spirits. His sister Jenny is very curious and watches. Johnny just typed in www.para-x.com and is now communicating with the dead. You go, Johnny. Jenny is excited. One day, the world will be a better place when we can all be like Johnny and Jenny. And tune into Para X Radio at www.para-x.com. All paranormal, all the time.
The vault is open. You're listening to the Haunted Headlines, your source for the stories making waves in the paranormal news. Sponsored by GhostVillage.com at www.ghostvillage.com/news.
Good evening, you're listening to the Haunted Headlines, Ghost Village's weekly journey on the paranormal newswire to bring you the biggest stories affecting the ghost community. Ghosts are getting in the way by being in the road again. In a story from the LA Times reporting from Chivu, Zimbabwe, people are fearing spirits in the road who seem to be taking the lives of some travelers and putting others in the line of fire there. They believe the ancestors on a stretch of road are angry, maybe in remembrance of Cecil Rhodes, who founded the diamond company De Beers and settled Zimbabwe. Rhodes helped to establish a camp near what is now the highway, and local people strongly believe that many were thrown to a burning pit by the diamond companies. The superstitious among the locals also feel that the younger generation has neglected the rituals that once kept them safe. More than 36 people have died on this road in recent days, including Susan Tsvangirai, the wife of Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, and another accident there in mid-April killed almost 29 people. The debate rages whether the accidents and the deaths are due to bad spirits in the road or treacherous passage caused by a lack of funds needed to fix the road. Many people in Zimbabwe feel the two are connected. Newport, Rhode Island is known for its mansions on the ocean and historic tales of ghosts, and often the two go hand in hand. One of the more visible houses in the town is now for sale. Bell Court Castle, Bellevue Ave's oldest mansion, has been put up for sale for $7.2 million by the sole surviving member of the family, Harley Tinney, who has owned it for more than half a century. The property was listed on May 1st and is another paranormal real estate to come up for sale since the beginning of the year. This listing might be one of the harder and most telling so far. Newport has long been known as an anchor of affluence in New England, and the Bell Court has one of the most stable properties throughout the last half of a century. In addition to seeking a peek into the old life in Newport and the antiques which have come to characterize the castle, visitors might spot any of the shadows or ghostly figures people have reported there over the years, including the castle's famous monk. In keeping with the paranormal real estate theme, another property in Albuquerque, New Mexico, has gone through a radical transformation in recent days, and the financial backers of the change are hoping a different face will help the old building lose its ghosts. In the coming days, Memorial Hospital, which recently celebrated its 85th year, will become a hotel. According to a story from KOAT, the ABC affiliate out of Albuquerque, the empty, falling-down building, which became a mental health facility in the 1980s, was the site of all the gloom and doom traditionally associated with asylums, and helped to spark rumors and tales of paranormal energy still present there. According to authorities, Klinger Construction will be handling the renovations on the 2.3-acre property, and people on the cruise are reporting the same ghostly happenings that people spoke of for years before it closed and later became a target for ghost hunters and thrill seekers. Quote, "I'm sure it's haunted," Ray Smith with Klinger says. "Don't go on the second floor of the West Wing by yourself." The Hotel Park Central, the hotel which is being built, is expected to open up in about a year. Those are the haunted headlines for this week. Make sure to stop by Ghost Village's news section to read about these stories and more at www.ghostvillage.com/news. Till next week, I'm Chris Balzano, and that's what's haunting me.
Welcome to the Waverly Hills Sanatorium Audio Experience. Take an 80-minute audio tour inside one of the most haunted locations in the United States. Available on iTunes and CDBaby.com. 100% of the proceeds go to StompOutCancer.com, a nonprofit charity that is working hard to help kids and young adults fight cancer. For more information, go to www.StompOutCancer.com.
Hello, this is Kenneth Deal, demonologist, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Wow. And back off the road is our friend in the third chair, Mr. Jason Gowan.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, Jason, we can hear you this week. You must not be stopping to buy chicken.
Oh, I was... And then my phone died in the Walmart.
Are you staying awake? Are you on the road? Are you still in fine? Where are you at? Where are you at right now? Our listeners want to know.
No, I'm home now. I'm back home.
So you're back in Pennsylvania right now?
I am indeed back in Pennsylvania. I have ended the trip to Florida.
I'm so sorry.
All the Disney pass was expiring, so there was really no reason to stay.
And this week there you were also up out in Ohio.
Yeah, I just got back from Mansfield Reformatory, and I did some streaking in the prison.
That's right, Sean. I forgot to tell you, Gowan is now the naked ghost hunter. We've had the naked chef and a few other naked things, but now we have the naked ghost hunter, Jason Gowan.
It's cool.
The title I hold proudly.
Yes,
I hope that
yes.
There are many more opportunities in which I can be naked.
Well, I was talking to you earlier, Gowan, and apparently there's going to be some access to YouTube maybe a couple times this week, maybe Wednesday or Thursday. They'll have that uploaded. I don't know. What do you think?
I'm hoping to go on the YouTube. The only thing I asked was that they blur out my junk, and that shouldn't take too long to edit out 2 pixels here or there.
No. That's going to be on my front page. It's going to be my screensaver, baby.
I don't want to know why that's going to be on your screensaver, Sean. But hey, Sean, we got to welcome our guest in the guest chair. We've got too many chairs now. I don't know.
You got a lot of chairs. That's right.
Josh Hawley. Is it Hawley? Hawley. Josh Hawley from Tombstone Ghost Hunters. Welcome to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show, Josh.
How's it going, guys?
It's going okay. We got cigars, we got booze, we've got a show of our own. What can we can't ask for much more.
And a bunkula.
There you go, Josh. I got to tell you, man, I'm so excited to have you on tonight because Tombstone, Arizona is one of the great places. I've been to some great haunted places, but that's one of the greatest places that I've never been to yet.
Oh, yeah. the stories about this place are nuts. They're all over the place.
Well, that's what I was wanting to ask you about. Could you give us, like, a guided tour real quick? Like, not, of course, not the $20 version, but, you know, like a quick wet-my-appetite kind of tour of the Tombstone, the haunted town?
Well, you got so many different places and a really rich history. And the funny thing about it, it's, you know, we're looking at 100 years in the past. So you got places like, of course, the Birdcage Theater, the infamous, if you will.
Right.
Big Nose Kate Saloon, the OK Corral, all these places just have, you know, a lot of death and vault. So there's a lot more that leads on beyond that.
Now, I understand there are still holes in the ceiling at the birdcage from when Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp were there.
That's a little stretch in the proof on that. The truth, it's not that deep into it. Now, there are holes in there. Where they came from is always subject to change.
So they're not from guys shooting holes in the ceiling?
They did that randomly once in a while if you had enough to drink.
I guess I could shoot some holes right now, Josh, if I had a pistol. That's... No, man.
When it comes...
go ahead, Josh.
Go ahead. Okay, when it comes to, like, the birdcage, since, you know, Taps had been there and did their show, all of a sudden we're getting tours down there every other week. You got another group coming in. And it's been amping up more and more and more. The activity there is just outstanding.
Now, right, now before Taps, before Ghost Adventures, before they did that, you guys were doing your thing, right? You were doing ghost tours already.
Yeah.
Now, what's the turnouts like on your ghost tours bi-weekly? I mean, do you guys do one or two a week, or is it every night?
Well, right now it's Fridays and Saturday nights starting at 8 p.m. And when I first started, it wasn't quite so many, but now we're getting sellout tours, which is really impressive.
Right.
Now, you had me check out some of your EVPs. We'll play some of them later on the show. But I was impressed by how many EVPs you get down there.
Yeah, and a lot of people, they'll email me and they go, well, it can't be real because you got so many, but... We had literally one investigation in a house, a private residence here, that we had literally direct contact. We had a ghost answering every question we asked.
And was that the, when you had me look up the investigation, that was...
Yes.
Dwayne's house. And that was just incredible. I played some of those, and they're long EVPs where you get answers after each question, and I was wondering... Did you edit those? Did you cut dead space out?
Well, some of them at first, we were getting them a lot less, but we were still getting them. So at first I started cutting out just the pieces, and then after a while I'm going, why am I doing this? I'm working my butt off. And a couple of them, I just left the full sessions in there because towards the end of our run, we were getting answer after answer after answer. So a couple of them are full sessions that people can listen to. So, you know, it's there for either, you can call it entertainment if you want, or just so people know what we got. It is amazing.
Now, how many recordings did you get of music playing? I remember when that Taps people went out there, they got some music playing at the birdcage. Is that common?
Over there, I've heard of a lot of different groups getting music playing. But we haven't been in the birdcage, but one night when I was doing a tour, walking by it, and I stood in front, and I said, okay, the birdcage theater, just like that. And all of a sudden, I mean, the door on the front door was locked up, there's nobody in there, and the speakers just start blaring with a loud static, like a white noise blaring through the speakers. And it's also hooked up to a PA system, so I didn't see exactly where that was wiring through. The wiring was good. I checked with the manager the next day, and it was just a random blurb that kind of hit, and it went for like 2 minutes. It stopped, and then maybe for 30 seconds, and went on for another minute. Now, I had this big group with me, and I'm turning around, and I said, do you guys hear that? That is weird. That doesn't usually happen. You don't see ghosts on ghost tours, you know? And they're like, oh, yeah, okay. And I said, no, guys, I didn't set this up. And they're like, oh, really? Okay. And that's when it really got interesting.
Now, is that the guy that was, I got to tell you, Josh, I love Haunted History. It is the best show that we have out there in the paranormal community today.
Yeah.
Haunted, you know what I'm talking about, right? The Haunted History?
Yeah, I think so.
And I've always been hooked on the one about Tombstone. They got the cat on there that's singing the song. He made up songs about Tombstone. He's playing the guitar. And it talks about the ghost of the lady in white with long gray hair. She walks the boardwalks. Have you ever encountered this little gem out there while you're doing ghost tours?
Oh, well, that kind of goes back to the research area. I saw that show when I first was starting up, and I thought, I've been here, and I've never seen this lady in white or heard anything about her. So I went to the history books. I talked to historians about this, And I said, so who is this lady in white? And they told me right off the bat, they said, there was never a woman hung in Tombstone. And I thought, okay, well, that's a bad taste in your mouth, you know, right there. There's a problem. And then I knew a guy that was on one of the, or on the show, and they interviewed him about seeing this lady in white. So I asked him, I said, did you see this lady? And he goes, no, I just made that up so I could be on TV.
Wow.
And I said, that's great. And that's where it really, I mean, that was the key point for me to start even doing this, because it has such a bad reputation in this town. I wanted to give something real, you know, real information for people instead of all these ghost stories. I mean, you live in a tourist town, that's all you have are stories and stories and stories. Where's the proof, you know?
Now, you sure there's no lady in white? Because I've never heard of a haunted town that didn't have a lady in white.
Right.
That's a red flag, my friend.
We got like 30 of them here, Josh, in the state of Indiana, you know? Lady in white in a cornfield and all kinds of stuff. But
hey, you could get them all together and have a lady in white party.
Yeah, I can invite all you guys over. We'll just have a big beer kegger, you know, and have all the Lady in White ghosts out here. But
I've been trying to do some research to see if these Lady in White sightings coincide with wedding shows, to see if maybe there are people showing gowns. I don't know.
You know, I wonder if it has anything to do with the old hag syndrome. A lot of people say the lady in white hair, all nasty, she's coming at them at night when they're in bed. But a lot of people see these old ladies in white gowns. Look at Resurrection Mary in Chicago. That's one of our... Huh?
I was going to say, also, you guys got that story about you cross the bridge at midnight, and there's a woman that's all wet, and she's wearing white, and she asks for a ride kind of thing?
Oh, we don't...
Isn't that Resurrection Mary?
I think it's a derivative off of that. We have one story down here that's like that, and... It ain't real, but I just thought maybe you guys have some along those lines, too.
Well, we have the white lady up here in Connecticut at the Union Cemetery, and it became so popular. And there are stories that tie into there having been a witch and all this stuff. And, you know, she was never hung or anything like that.
She lives.
Excuse me. She was never hanged. I'm trying to get that word out properly.
No, she wasn't. I seen her today.
But, you know, she...
Ex-wife.
She was one of these people who liked to go around and tell people, you know, I'm a witch, give me some food or else I'll curse you kind of thing. And
right.
Well, maybe it overworks, right?
Yeah, you know, they might have had a recession, much like we're having now. So I might try that myself. Things are getting hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say, I'm a witch, give me a Snickers bar, man. I mean, it happens.
Three Musketeers.
You know? Three Musketeers, that works too. But I love Tombstone. Now, Josh, I got to ask you, do you live within the city limits of Tombstone? Or are you outside? I mean, is there any work out there?
I could walk about 200 feet, and I'm standing in Boot Hill Graveyard.
Oh, wow.
Now,
does your home
get any activity because you're so close?
Well, actually, Dwayne's house, where we actually picked up most of that activity we're going to go over, was right next to, or is right next to, Boot Hill Graveyard. That's where it all started. And Boot Hill, I mean, you got to remember, the simple fact of it is that before Tombstone was a tourist town, it was dying, it was fading away, and Boot Hill had, or I should say has, about 400-plus graves on that site. And now there's like 100 at least. So you're going, where are the rest? Well, they're underneath houses.
Oh,
right.
Lovely.
Right. Now, hey, Josh, I got to ask you, man. I got to. What is it like on the streets of Tombstone this time of night or 12 midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning? What's it like, man?
I could tell you there is no experience like it. You feel the area, and I couldn't explain it. Now, I'm not saying it's necessarily paranormal. I'm just saying you have that ambiance. It's a different world. That's the only way I can really put it. You have to experience it yourself.
See, I'm with you because every time I go to Gettysburg, Josh, I feel that. I was out at Devil's Den with a lot of friends last year, and it was evening. The moon was coming up. The sun was going down. And it was just, I can't even explain it. It's just amazing. You can feel some type of energy there.
Now, here's a joke I guess only somebody who lives in Tombstone or really loves the movie Tombstone would get. Because I know you probably get asked all the time, you know, how is Wyatt Earp and have you seen him lately? But
like Elvis. I think Elvis is out there too.
But
yeah, I've seen Elvis, the Easter Bunny, Bugs Bunny twice, and
what
up, Doc?
Any activity from Lester Moore out there?
Lester Moore, okay, yeah, I'm a history wiener, I guess, but Lester Moore's in Dodge City. They have a tombstone out here that says Lester Moore, shot by 44, no less, no more. He is not actually buried out here. They have all the graves wrong. Now, if you're dead, would that bug you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, do you think tombstone, the activities there from all the violent deaths and the activity that went on there, or that the people who were there were just having so much fun they didn't want to leave?
You know, I think it's both. I mean, Birdcage Theater, it's a place people loved. Crystal Palace, people loved it. When you get to the violence, I mean, there was death there all the time. So there's also that reminiscence of that.
Now, have you, Josh, have you had a chance to talk to some of these cats that were on Haunted History, the shopkeepers, the staff that works for some of these, like the OK Corral? The lady says she sees the ghost. I mean, you've had a chance to speak to these people. What do you think when they talk to you and they tell you they've seen these things? I mean, do you feel they're being honest or what?
Well, I don't try to, you know, first of all, I just listen, and I listen with an open ear, and I'm friendly, and I don't try to go there, no, I don't think so, or anything like that, because that's automatically just bad taste. But when I talk to these people and I get in depth, I learn more, and instead of just hearing the crust of the story, I get into the full details of it. And when it comes to, like, the OK Corral, there was another murder that happened there in 1897 involving a judge, and people describe when they talk about who died there, or they see a ghost on the street, or they get a feeling inside, or they see somebody walk into this one building right up front. They always describe the same guy, and he has a beard, a balding head, and like a black outfit, right?
Yeah.
So I started reading this book called Ghost Towns and Mining Camps of Arizona. And I started reading about Charleston, which is about 10 miles away. It's a ghost town now. It's not there. And then I found out this guy, this judge, died in the office right there. And I thought, wow, I didn't even know that. And then I saw a picture of him, and it was what people were describing to me. Now, granted, I've never seen him, but it's just that balding head, the bushy beard. It was just that makeup for you to go, okay, that's uncanny. It's weird.
Well, I want to play a couple of these EVPs, and I want to start with the poor boy one. So I'm going to amp up the volume on the EVPs here and give a quick play of this one here.
Listen up, guys.
Do you like Cody? Do you like Cody? Do you like Cody?
Okay, right off the bat, I could hear that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's one of those ones, like you said, they just kind of are so clear and in that area. Is that a member of your team, or are you investigating that home?
That was a member of my team, and it was actually his house at the same time. So when he asked me to come over, we weren't getting anything for the majority of the night. Dwayne says, can I come in? Can I see how you guys are doing this? I said, yeah. And he came in, and that's when things started going crazy. Well, he was the one that could get the EVPs. So the ghost wanted to talk to him. Now, Cody is his stepson, and he always gives him a hard time. They, you know, beat each other up all the time. So Cody went off to see his real father, and when he was gone, he said, do you miss Cody? And that's when he said, yes, where is he? And then he went on to say, my poor boy.
Okay, here's one. You were talking about a sword in the bed.
Yes.
What?
I heard the EVP. When did a sword...
I've used that line myself, Josh.
When did a sword get jammed into the bed?
Well, that one, we walked in. We were going to... Now, we made a central area. It was the bedroom where we were going to perform EVPs because we wanted to have a controlled location for them. And when we were doing this over weeks, I mean, this wasn't all in just one night, obviously. And when we came back, We walked into the bedroom, and I was walking first, and I saw this, you know, the sword canes, they come apart and there's a sword underneath,
right.
Kind of like a hidden thing.
Yeah.
It was taken out. He had it by his dresser. It was removed from there and shoved in the foot of the bed all the way through to piercing the floor. Of course, he freaked out, and he blamed his Cody, the stepson. And so we didn't know how to take it. Was it really him because he denied it, or was it something totally out of the ordinary, paranormal, or who knows what? And we started asking questions about it, and that's where that came from.
Well, here we go with when you asked that question, the results on the EVP coming up right now.
Why did you shove the sword in the bed?
Now, I'm only playing that one once because I couldn't quite make out everything it was saying. But you have on your list 6x6. Six by six, we come.
Well, yeah, that one might be messed up. I have to look into that because it was probably the weirdest EVP we got, and I think that might have. I did a reformat of my website, and that might have got messed up on there. It's supposed to be how many of you are here, and you hear a voice actually say 6x6, we come. Very long, very drawn out. That one got messed up with some other one, but he says on that recording, it says something to the effect of it wasn't me.
Hey, Josh, I got to ask you real quick. I just found out last week that Billy the Kid lived in Indiana. Did you know that?
I didn't, but my wife could tell me all about that one.
Yeah, I didn't know. Did Billy the Kid ever make his way out to Tombstone?
Well, Billy the Kid was centralized in Lincoln County, New Mexico. And we had another Billy the Kid, if you will, was Billy Claiborne. They called him the second Billy the Kid. So he had a nickname because Billy the Kid had a reputation. So anybody and everybody tried to get that name on their own side. So people
right.
were automatically afraid of you.
Yeah. See, I got all kinds of stories like you do out here. My grandmother, I live in Indianapolis. She lived right outside of Indiana into Kentucky. And a story that's in the family to this day is how Jesse James came up to her while she was hanging clothes on the line and asked her for something to drink and something to eat. So, you know, it's a big story out here, man. And then you're right there in Tombstone. You have all these outlaws, all these law men, all these historical people. I mean, I don't know how you're sitting inside your house. I'd be out right now walking the streets, but I guess you get used to it, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Not every place is haunted. It's always that rule, 10%, man.
Oh, I know, man. But I can't imagine, like you said. And I said, it's a good thing we brought you on tonight, because when I said something about, I was talking before, the ghost story is where it's at for me. And when I was a kid, what got us all involved in this was the ghost story. You know, that's the greatest thing I think that we've ever been blessed with, is being able to tell a ghost story that's been passed down through generations. What do you think about that?
Oh, the ghost story is just the classic frightener for that fire around the camp and everything like that, and it's the whole pinnacle of half of the reason why we're doing it. It's like, what
That's
made
right.
that ghost story? Because we're the people that think a little deeper than just the surface area,
right.
You know what I mean? And it's just that's
see,
how I see that.
I'm 33. I know my kids, they'll be able to look at a ghost story book and actually be able to download EVPs taken from that site, which is what we didn't have when we were kids, you know? So
you weren't kidding.
I want to play another EVP, Sean. There's two more that I went through, and there were so many that I liked. But these two were so interesting to me. Who were you saying you didn't want in the house anymore?
Oh, that one, it gets a little deep. Quite honestly, we were doing an investigation, our normal EVP run. We're getting so many hits, I didn't want to stop. He didn't want to stop, so we were just going almost every night and then getting about, you know, a few hours of sleep here and there. But one night, we're doing EVPs, and something holds the door shut, and we couldn't open the door. Now, Dwayne can lift 500 pounds. Okay, that's pretty good. And he's on one side pulling, and I'm on the other side pushing, and my wife is on the other side pushing, and we're pushing this door, and it opens about 2 inches, and I see his foot up against the wall pulling. Finally, it pops open. He falls across the room, and he goes, "That's it." And you can hear him, you know, cussing up a storm. And then it happened again because we kept on trying to delve into what's going on. Had a bottle thrown at his head, and even a scream, something out of the bedroom when nobody was in there, screamed at him. And it was very, very uncomfortable. You think of one of the unnerving things. Now, when we talked to Johnny later, he told us that he got rid of this other evil, what he liked to call him, angry. He got rid of him and also gave him the name of Martin. And Martin was this evil demon or entity or whatever you want to call it. I generally just call it demon because it's an angry spirit, you know what I mean? That was probably one of the more interesting things that happened.
Well, here, I want to play this EVP because I just found it so interesting. Now, who is it that's answering you if Martin was gone?
That, answering the question, that's Johnny. That's the ghost. That's what he said his name was, Thomas Johnny Wilson.
Okay, I want to play this really fast because it's an awesome EVP.
What can you do to help me get rid of Martin? What can you do to help me get rid of Martin? What can you do to help me get rid of Martin?
I thought that
already drawn?
Already gone.
Already gone.
I thought that was an incredible EVP.
That was one of the better ones we got and more of the clearer ones we got because before we got to edit them, we were listening to them raw. And it was yes, no answers were the easiest. I really got to get that 6x6 one. You're going to love that if you ever have a chance to hear that one.
Well, we'll have you back on because we're running out of time. And I want to throw out there, folks, if you like EVPs, spiritsoftombstone.com. Go to the investigations and check out the EVPs. If you are interested in Tombstone, spiritsoftombstone.com. You can click on their ghost tours when you're going to be down there. Check it out. I got to play this one last EVP because I felt it really summed up your investigation. And this show, and it's the end of session. It's the end of the EVP session. So yeah. I'm just going to play that one really fast here. And then we'll wrap up and let you answer some questions. And
end of session. End of session. End of session.
Don't go.
Yeah.
Even I heard that one.
And it's funny because we were turning off our recorders before we got up and left. And so I said, you know what? We're missing things. Let's leave them on until we completely walk out of the room, then turn it off, and that's when we're starting getting those other little hits like that.
That's great. That's what I tell people all the time. I keep a recorder on me running until I walk out of the building, and then even until I'm in the car, I end the session when I get in the car.
Yeah, hey, Josh, I gotta ask one question, man. I work for an airline, and the closest they fly into Tombstone, I think, is Tucson. How far is that from Tombstone?
You're looking about 60 miles, I think, an hour drive or so. It's not that far.
Not that far? Okay. I'd like to get out there. And another thing I have to ask you is, what do you do when you're not doing the ghost tours?
Actually, getting ready to have a baby myself.
I'm right with you, man.
Yeah, little Madison, that's her name, my wife. I'd like to say I love you to her, Melissa. She's listening, of course. And
congratulations, Missy. That's Missy.
Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations, Missy, and congratulations to you, Josh. I got little Addie coming the late June. Of course, it's a natural childbirth, so you never know when it's going to happen.
You ain't kidding.
Yeah.
Well,
let me tell you guys,
go ahead, Josh.
I just, on the whole Johnny Wilson thing, if anybody wants to know more about it, I just finished my book. It's called Tombstone's Most Haunted, and when they go to the website, it's right in the middle there. Just click on the book, and they can read all about it. I did all the research and a lot of things that happened, and if you coincide that with the site, you're going to get a pretty good story.
And that's Tombstone's Most Haunted. That's available on your website at www.spiritsoftombstone.com. Can they find it on Amazon, places like that?
Not at this time. I'm working on it. I'm about as rich as that guy asking for a Snickers bar down the street.
Yeah, well, that guy is me. Check out the book. It's spiritsoftombstone.com. You got to come back on, Josh, because we didn't get time to even go into Tombstone history, and I am a Tombstone history buff.
Yeah.
You know, so you can, we got to have you back on.
Anytime, pick my brain, guys.
And it's great to have you here, and I lost Jason. We were so into the conversation. I didn't even see we lost Jason on the...
I got to tell you, Josh, maybe we can get down there in the next couple months. You never know. Maybe you'll get a phone call. You never know, man. You never know.
So, I'll be looking forward to it.
Guys, all right, brother. You never hear me announce it this many times. Spiritsoftombstone.com. Check it out. Check out the investigations. Check out the EVPs. Check out the tours. Check out the book. You know, actually buy the book. Don't go to the library. Buy the book. It's good.
Yeah. And congratulations to Josh and Missy, man, on the baby.
That's right. And don't forget my next book, Bunnicula.
Bunnicula.
Bunnicula in Tombstone.
You remember that, don't you, Josh? Come on.
Yeah, well, it's going to be Bunnicula versus Bugs Bunny.
And the Ghost of Tombstone.
That's right, because you can't think of anything better. You know what I mean?
Well, Josh, we have to wrap up. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Can you hang on the line while Sean and I wrap up the show?
Yeah, no problem.
And Sean, unfortunately, it's time for us to thank everybody for joining us tonight for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Absolutely, guys. Hey, have a great week, and don't go changing ghost hunters. You know we won't. We love you.
And if you missed any part of this or any Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, remember you can find it at Podomatic, Podcast Pickle, iTunes, Mediafly, Podbean, the Blueberry Network, the Podbean Network, ParaX Radio Network, the Podfeed Community, the Black Vault Radio Network, and I don't know if I said Planet Paranormal, but I'm working on that site as we speak. So
I got that one. Actually, I threw the Don't Go Changing right in front of you guys. And be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log into our forums because we really want to hear from, hey,
and you. Obviously, we don't go changing, folks, so you don't. Good night, everybody.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
So say good night to the bad guy.